long. Could everybody hear me? Okay. I know it's a busy day for you moms and you grandmas. Yeah. For school. Everybody's getting ready for that big day. Don't forget to send them out with your blessings and prayers in the morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to, this tape, I was asked Sunday, what was the tape, what was, I was ministering on Sunday. So I'm going to put a name for this tape. It's Power in the Person of the Word. So those that are doing the taping. In Matthew 6, from verse 9, that's one of the prayers. Jesus teaching us on prayer. And in verse 9, he said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When Jesus said, "Our Father," that tells us that we are to relate to God as daddy, as a father. Like you would call your father daddy. We call him, I say daddy, we say Abba, Father. The one we look to for our provision. For he's the one that we look to for our provision. Our guidance, our peace, joy, and everything else that we need. Hallowed be thy name means to reverence God's name and his word, for they are one and the same. We must take God's word as absolute truth. In verse 11 it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God still wants the earth to be like heaven. And he will only allow what we allow by our words. We give him permission through prayer, confession, declaring his will for us. So if we don't declare, if we don't confess, if we don't speak his word here on earth, then God can do anything because he gave us the authority. As believers, he has given us the dominion, the authority. And he said, whatsoever we speak, whatsoever we say, whatsoever we bind on earth, it already has been bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose here on earth, in heaven, shall be loose. So we have to do it according to God's will, God's way of doing things. You know, sometimes we think we could do it our way, but it's not. We have to do it God's way, and we have to go according to the way God has already given us his word. He's already put it in his word how we should. We need to speak that the word of God no matter what, because we are speaking spirit, and the spirit of God is within us. So everything that we need, we already have. So there is no lack, even in the word, there is no lack. So there should be no lack in us, and so we should always speak the word of God. So that's why it says we should take God's word as absolute truth to us. God still wants the earth to be like heaven, and he will only allow what we allow. I repeat that again, because we have to be careful what we allow. We can't blame, you know, a lot of times we blame the enemy. We say, oh, the devil. But it has nothing to do with the devil. It has to do with us, because we have the dominion. We have the authority. So it has to do with us. We have the word of God. And he says, his word is life and a spirit. So we could bring life to every situation that we speak. But it's up to us to speak it. And by our words, we give God permission through prayer, confessing his will for us. If we don't get God involved, he will just stand back and allow it. You know, a lot of people don't think that because they say, well, God is God. He can do whatever. No, no. No way. God doesn't go against his word. And he doesn't go against what he has already given to us and spoken to us. He said, you go, therefore. You speak. So it's up to us. He's already given us the dominion. He's not going to come here on earth to do anything because he's already done it. And because he's already done it, he's already given it to us. And he has given us the authority and the dominion to do it. So it's up to us here on earth to do it. So it's up to us to speak the word of God. We must put the word of God in our hearts. We hear that all the time. But the only way we could do that is by meditation. We have to take the word and we have to continue to meditate on it. We have to continue to speak it. The more you say it, is the more you're hearing it. And the more you're hearing it, it's going right into the ground of your heart. And your heart is good ground because God said, I have given you a new heart. So don't let the enemy, you know, make you fall thinking that, you know, your heart is corrupt. You're corrupt, you know. We have a new heart. And the new heart, there's no corruption in our hearts. The only corruption where it is, if we don't renew our minds, the corruption comes by what we see, what we hear. So he says, take heed to what you hear. That's why we have to be careful what we listen to, who we listen to, what we watch on television, because we think those things are not doing anything, but they are. They're going through the eye gate and the ear gate, and they go right into our hearts if we allow it, if we continue. You know, there's certain things that we continue to always watch and watch and watch. And sometimes there are things there that we hear, but sometimes we're hearing it so much that sometimes we don't hear certain things. And somebody could come right along here and say, well, why are you watching that? Didn't you hear that? And you say, oh, I didn't hear that. Or sometimes we hear it and we say, oh, well, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal. It is a big deal because it's coming right into our hearts. And we have to be careful. Just like when you put money in the bank. I'm going to put it that way. When you put money in the bank, you have a right because it's yours. You have the authority. You have the right. Only you have the right unless you had signed it to someone else. Just like Jesus did with us. He has the right to everything, but he legally gave it to us. So if you legally give it to one of your children, something that they are allowed to take what's in the bank, they could do it. But if you don't, nobody else could touch that. So the same way with us, we have to take the word, just like we take and put our money in the bank. And then when we want to withdraw, we know we can go to the bank and withdraw. Now when we put the word of God in our hearts, then we know we have something that we could withdraw from. Even though the Spirit is within us and the Word is always there, you know, but the Spirit is not going to force that Word to come out if we're not taking that Word and meditating and spending time with it. So it's so important, you know, we hear it, but it's good to continue. I love hearing it, you know. So the same way we put money in the bank, it's the same way. And that's the same thing that happens with the Word of God. We put it in, so we have something to draw from. His word, that is why Satan tries to keep us from the word. He tries to keep us from spending time, from studying, from hearing, from meditating. You know, it's funny, we say Satan, but I don't believe all the time it's Satan. I believe sometimes it's just our soft choices. You know, we say we don't do it because sometimes the word, you know, we say, oh, I heard that already. Oh, I know what the word says. But sometimes, you know, with myself, I don't always know exactly everything the word says. I could quote certain things that I have spent my time meditating on, but I have to be careful because sometimes, you know, we put mixture in it. You know, the word says one thing and we add a little something to it. And that's not going to work. So we have to be careful and we have to make sure that what we meditate on is the Word of God and that's what we speak. But thanks God for Jesus that paid the price for us, that we were reconciled to God. And now we are under God's leadership. So now that we are under God's leadership, Romans 12:1, and 2. And I know a lot of us, we know what that scripture verse says, but, you know, like I said, I don't want to take it for granted. I want to read it. I don't want to quote it, but I want to read it exactly the way God put it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you see the importance of renewing your mind is in the next verse. It's in the same verse, but the following words. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So only we are the only ones that can do that. No one else could do that for me. You know, if I don't renew my mind and my sisters or brothers are renewing their mind, you know, that's not going to benefit me anything. You know, it's up to me to do it, to take that time and renew my mind with the Word of God, because that's what Jesus has said. And we are supposed to be a living sacrifice to God in the sense where we're not our own. We belong to Him. In John 6, did everybody hear what Sister John said? Would you like to listen to Sister John?
And Sister Andy just used that illustration of the meditating is like putting the money in the bank. I just got the insight as to what she was saying. It's all of a sudden the meditating became putting the money in the bank is like gaining interest. As you continue, you put money in the bank, over time, you begin to get interest. And that's exactly what's happening as we continue. Over time, we get interest.
Amen. In John 6, 5-12, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread. That's not the scripture I want to go to. Wait a minute. I hope I wrote it down. Well, it's a scripture in Philippians. I can't remember. Maybe someone remembers. And not in Philippians. It's a scripture when he healed people, when Jesus did works and miracles and signs and wonders, and then he told Philip to go feed, to go get bread to feed the multitude. I believe it was the multitude. And Philip said, where are we going to buy this bread? I know this verse in John 6 is, but I didn't want to go to that whole thing. I can't remember the verse of scripture. But I know it had to do with Philip and Jesus. Huh? John what? No. Verse 5. Well, that's what I was reading, but that's not the one I was studying. Wait. Well, but it has to do with what 5 is saying. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But there's another one, I don't know the scripture, where Jesus had already done miracles, signs and that. And they, let me see, because they saw, okay, that's, well, the miracles, right, and two. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle, which he had done on them. And they were seized. And Jesus went up unto a mountain, and there he sat with his disciple. That's not the one. But it had to do where he told Philip to go to see where they're going to get the bread for them to eat. Lord, give me that scripture. No. Oh, Jesus, come on. Well, anyway, it had to do with when he did miracles and that, and Philip and them were there. And then afterwards, he told the multitude of people that needed food, had nothing to eat, and he told Philip that to get the, where are they going to get the bread? And then Philip said to him, he said, where can we buy enough bread for all these people to eat? And in that verse of scripture, when I read that, like when Philip said, answered Jesus back, and he said, where could we get enough bread for these people to eat? I believe that what Jesus was telling Philip what Jesus wanted to see was where Philip's mindset was. Who was Philip trusting on? Who was Philip going to look to depend on? Because when I read that, it was like Jesus had already done the signs and the wonders, the miracles, and he had already shown. So Philip had already seen what Jesus did, but now Jesus was, and I don't want to say the when I read at home, it said something about Jesus was testing Philip, but I don't believe that he was testing Philip. I don't like to use that word, testing him. I believe that what Jesus was doing, he wanted to see if Jesus, seeing everything that Jesus had already done, how he already provided and did the miracles and that, how he wanted to see if Philip understood who Jesus was and who Jesus' dependence was on. Because when I read that, I had taken it where we have to understand where all our provision comes from. And Philip was looking to the natural way, because when he said, well, where are we going to get all this bread and that to feed all these people, you know, then Jesus had to answer him, you know. Like, you know, to see, okay, Philip, let me see. You know, what are we going to do? You know, it's just like us. When we have a need and that, God looks to us to see, all right, where are you going to get this need from? Are we going to trust him, or are we going to look for our own way of making provision for it? So I believe that was what Philip, because after that, Jesus, that was when the account where the little boy came and gave him the two fishes. Yes, Brother Junior. Oh, you are so good. Could be that. I don't think it's that, but Mark what? No, that's not it. That's not the right verse. Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead. No, that's the one we just... No, that's not it. No. No, well... Go ahead, Junior. Matthew 14:16. Wait a minute. I don't know. Well, I now have to go home and look at it. But anyway, like I said, I believe Jesus, I understood it where when Jesus told Philip to go get the bread, I think he just wanted Philip to answer him according to what Jesus had already done. That he was the one to provide everything. Because I think in that's the same account where the two fishes and the loaf of bread, and he gave it to Jesus, the disciples. Disciples gave it to Jesus. And Jesus took and blessed it, right? He brought it up to the Father, and the Father gave thanks. And immediately it was multiplied. So that could be the verse. I'm just maybe because I read it in a different Bible. Okay. So that's the same way God does not. What I'm trying to get at is that when God tells us that we are able to bless somebody, you know, someone, that we don't look to say how or with what. Whatever you have, you say, okay, Lord, and you present it to him, give it to whoever it is, and God will make sure that you receive it back in abundance. And that's what I think he was trying to show Philip. He was trying to tell Philip, you know, there's so many people here, I healed, and I did, you know, so many things in front of you, and here I'm telling you, I won't tell you to feed them if I know that you couldn't. But what he was telling Philip in other ways, the same way I do it, that's the same way you can do it, by trusting in me that I am able. You know, and the same thing with us. God wants us to know the same way he is able, we are able through him to receive and to get the things that we need. You know, sometimes we look to our jobs and things for the things that we need, but God says, no, look unto me. That's why he says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, and everything else will be added. So when we look to Jesus, you know, we learn of him. He said, learn of me. So he wants us to learn how the kingdom operates through this. And he was showing where, because the little boy, I mean, you know, that's why I said we have to be like little children. The little boy took that, what he had. He didn't even question it, and he didn't even look at all the people. He didn't say, it's not enough. The little boy didn't say that. You know, I mean, he could have said, oh, I'm not going to give this to Jesus because, you know, it's only two fishes and bread. I'll eat this myself, you know. But no, the little boy, he just, like a child, he trusts in his daddy and his father. And he trusts in his parents. That's the same way this little boy did. He said, well, you know what? I'm going to give it to him. Because he's the one that provides. So he knew, you know, this little kid saw him as a father and gave it to him so that Jesus could take and present it to his father. And that was a multiplication there. He gave it to, and it brought back seed. Because look how much Jesus was able to have to feed everyone that was there and over. So, you know, anything we give to God, you know, it's only for our benefit. It's only for God to give us back. And he gives us much more than what we could never outgive God. So when the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks to you or to give something, just do it. Don't question it because, you know, we put our trust in God. You know, we have to look to God. So it's not our money. It's really his money. You know, we're just stewards of it. So we have to learn to let go when God says, hey, let go. So I believe Jesus always looks to his source of supply. So look how Jesus did the same thing. When he got the fishes and the bread, he just didn't take it and just, you know, spoke to it and that. He first presented to the Father, to where his source comes from. Because Jesus, you know, his source comes from his Father. Because he said, I can do nothing unless my Father says it. So, you know, he also was showing Philip, you know, I'm going to present it to my Father, and you see how my Father in return is going to multiply it, you know. And that's what God does with whatever, everything that we have, our seed, everything that we have. That's what sowing and reaping do. When we give, we always get back. We always get back, you know. So we have to always be ready and willing to give, you know. Not to look at the natural or the circumstances that we're going through, but to look to our source. Who is our source? Who is Jesus Christ? Because when he said, I can't do nothing, that's the same way we have to be. Where we could do nothing without the Lord. So, you know, I learned from that, how that one seed, you know, the fishes and the bread, how that one obedience, that, well, I want to say that one thing he did, look how much it multiplied. I mean, everybody ate. Everyone ate. And there was still a lot left. So that seed was sown twice. And there's always a heavenly supply. In Ephesians 1, two and three says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. See, we're blessed in every way. We lack nothing. In 2 Corinthians, I love that one too. There's so many scripture verses that I have marked. You know, I'm sure we all have some that we say more, that we confess more, speak more than others. But in 2 Corinthians 9, I'm sure some of us know this already. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So we have for everything, even for the work that God has called us to do, there should never be any lack. We have more than enough. There should never be any lack. We must stand on God's word. No matter what we see or hear, we need to continue confessing the word, declaring it, proclaiming it, because it's spiritual truth, and the truth that we know will always make us free. So if we're free, when we're free, we're able to walk in that which God has given us. There's nothing holding us back to going forth and doing what God has called us to do. And because of it, the word of God has already overcame. Because Jesus overcame already. And he already overcame. So he says that we have overcome just like he has. And because he says we overcome him, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you know, sometimes we don't testify enough. We don't give God the glory and the honor that is due to him. We don't testify enough of what God has done. You know, and we need to testify. Because he says that's how we overcome. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have the blood already. Now we need to testify what the blood has done for us. You know, whatever has done for us. If nothing is too little, nothing is too big. You know, I'm sure we could all testify of something God has done for us. You know, and that's how we overcome the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want us to testify. He always wants us to speak negative, wrong, complain, and murmur. But that's why I believe God hates murmuring and complaining. Because when we murmur and complain, it's like we're saying God didn't do enough for us. You know, and He has done it for us. He has done everything. So we have to learn to testify, you know, testify of the goodness of God and what He has done for us and what He has given us. We need to testify. We need to stand on God's word, because He wants us to sow that word in our hearts, to think and speak what He thinks and see it multiply. So when we see things, and if they're contrary to God's word, don't speak those things. Because He says, you know, we don't speak the things that we see, but the things that are not seen. Because the things that are not seen, that are not good, you know, if we speak them, we're going to have them. Like I was saying Sunday, we have to be watchful of what we say. And we think words are just words, but it's not just words. It's words that come alive when we speak. They become whatever we say. So we have to be careful. In Proverbs 18:20. Boy, we're going to be out of here early today. I know. And look, listen to what it says. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be full. So it says our belly shall be satisfied. Does anybody have another translation? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Go ahead, Sister Damaris. Say that again. That's right. Exactly. Whether good or evil. You know, and, you know, that's why I said we have to be careful. You know, sometimes we speak things, even kidding around. We say things one to another when we're among families, and we kid and we say things, you know, and we think it's nothing wrong with it, but it is idle words. And we're going to be judged by every idle word that we've spoken. And sometimes I said, Lord, if I've spoken idle words, can we erase that? Because I don't want to come before you and be judged for those idle words, you know, and teach me. Because sometimes certain words, certain things that we say, we don't think that they are idle words, you know. But they are, because He says death, and the next verse He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we have to be careful, you know, what we say. Let's go to Psalms 50. And that says, whosoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation upright will I show the salvation of God. You know, so that, you know, He says, sometimes we come and, like, you know, we don't like to, not that we don't like to, but we're tired and that, but there's no excuse. We don't offer the praise to God like we should, you know. And sometimes all day long, we just say so many things, and we forget that, you know, God is our Father, and we have to give Him glory and honor in what we say and we need to take time to glorify Him. So when we come together, Psalms 50:23. We have to learn that when we come together, that that's the time just to come and praise and worship God. Give him worth. You know, worship means giving worth to him. You know, and for because He's worthy of all our praise, you know. So we've got to show, you know, by some, you know, like some people say, well, we don't get caught up lifting hands or dancing, or that's okay if you don't find to do that. But at least open up your mouth and give Him thanks. We could all do that, because we could give Him thanks that at least we can open our mouth and we can speak. There's some that can't, but we could. So we should offer up, you know, that praise to Him and give Him glory, because, you know, He's the one that orders us. You know, He's the one that directs us and leads us. He's the one that's given us life and life more abundantly. You know, the breath that we breathe, He's the one that has given it to us. So we should take that breath of life, that life that He's given us, that we're able to praise and worship Him to do it. You know, we should need to give Him, you know, praise and worship. And then we need to order our conversation upright. Because this way, you know, when people hear us, sometimes we don't think people are hearing us, but in our jobs, when we go to the stores, you know, somebody we're speaking to, they're hearing what we're saying. So we have to be careful what we say. We have to, our conversation, when we speak one with another, when we're in our homes with our family, we have to be careful what we say, because they pick up more than what we think. You know, even the little ones, they pick up more than when they repeat what we say. So we have to learn to keep our conversation upright. You know, make sure we speak the things that God would have us to speak. Speak the things that are pure, things that are good, the things that are lovely. Those are the things that God wants us to speak. So tonight, what I like for us to do is, I like to end with Ephesians. And I like to pray for the church. Come in agreement. In Ephesians 3:14. And I'm going to pray this. I'm going to declare it to the airways and to us, that our spirit, because it's the word of God, would just come in agreement with this word and bring it to pass in each and every one of us. Okay. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He will grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare Your word, O God. And Father God, as one in You, O God, in You and us, O Father, I ask, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by Your Spirit, O God, because it's only by Your Spirit, O Father, that will quicken and make Your word alive to us. So, Father, I'm asking, Lord, that we will come and to know, O God, Your heart, O God, Your love, that we'll be so rooted and grounded in Your love, O God, Lord, that we will be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And that we are to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of who You are. So, Father, I declare this today. I decree it in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You said, O Father God, that Your word shall not return void, but it would accomplish that which we speak. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as you continue to teach us by your Spirit and by your Word, Lord God, that we are to continually put our trust only in you, O God. Lord, and as we trust you and we lay all our cares upon you because you care for us, Father, Lord God, that you will continue, O God, to multiply, that you will continue to give us whatever we need because there is no lack in you. So, Father, I thank you right now. Father, I lift up everyone that is here tonight, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for the time that they have come to hear your word. Lord, that they have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, and I give you thanks and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.